This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Kalamazoo County's Board of Commissioners is currently made up of 5 Democrats and 5 Republicans. Next month's election will determine the partisan makeup of the board beginning in January. We're going to discuss the races and what has led up to the election with WMUK's Sevilla Mann and MLive Kalamazoo reporter Malachi Barrett. Thank you both for being here.
Good to be here.
Thanks for having me.
The commission is supposed to have 11 members. How come it's currently at 10 and we're not going to see an 11th member until 2019?
District 2 Commissioner Kevin Wortelman, a Democrat, had moved out of his home in the 2nd District in late September. And so state law prevents someone who lives outside the district from representing that district. And so he came to the board and resigned shortly after doing that. The issue was he kind of waited on that notification until after participating in a board meeting. So some of his votes, including the county budget, had to come back. But that seat has remained open. They had 30 days to fill it. There's no actual opportunity for a special election, which is allowed under the law. That would have to take place next spring. And obviously, there's not enough time left in the year for something like that to happen. So the board came together last week to decide how they would handle replacing Mr. Wortelman, and ultimately decided to leave that seat vacant through a split vote, 5-5.
And we should also note that Kevin Wortelman was not planning to run for re-election, so there is a Democrat who's on the ballot in that district who presumably will win on November 6th and then take that seat on the board. So what was the back and forth over actually filling that seat? How come it was determined that that's not going to happen for now?
Well, as you said, there's a Democrat who's running unopposed in Kevin Wortelman's, what was Kevin Wortelman's district. The Democrats, the 5 Democrats who are on the commission, who remain on the commission after Wortelman resigned, wanted to appoint him, his name's Paul Haig, to represent District 2. So basically, he'd be joining the board 2 months early. Tracy Hall, Democrat, was one of the commissioners who wanted to see Paul Haig appointed to that seat. That was the argument of the Democrats on the board, that the residents of District 2 deserve representation, that they should go ahead and fill that seat. The Republicans on the board were not so keen on that plan. Some of them said they needed to know more about Wortelman's resignation before they could appoint someone to that seat. They suggested that it was unfair to District 2 members to act hastily and appoint someone. And Commissioner Ron Kendall, who's a Republican, had an interesting take on the situation. Well, the way that the real challenge to do things bipartisan played out at that meeting was that the board had a vote on whether to fill the seat. It deadlocked 5-5, and so the motion failed. It's a bit optimistic to say that you have to be bipartisan when you have a 5-5 split. The reality that went unmentioned up there on the dais is that the Republicans on the board effectively have a veto if they vote in a block, while the 5-5 split remains.
A veto, because you need 6 votes to do anything. They can block anything from happening.
They can block anything from
happening.
They can't
necessarily pass anything new with a 5-5 board.
No, because, well, it goes both ways. Democrats, too, can, if they vote together, can override anything the Republicans come up with.
So obviously there's a partisan split here. Malachi, in your story, John Gissler said, this is partisan, this is political. I'm not going to deny that that's what's going on here. Is what happened with that vacancy, Kevin Wortelman's seat, symbolic of more partisan division on the board?
I think there's more fear that there will continue to be deadlock and a stall of progress due to this kind of gridlock that's been created with the 5-5 situation, more so than Republicans taking over control of any kind of legislative policy making on the board. Because what we've seen in the last 2 years is some very partisan division among Democrats and Republicans who can't seem to agree on some of the major moves that they've made. And you're also seeing some division within the parties. But I think there's a good amount of concern that for these remaining 4 meetings in the rest of the year, we're going to see not much actual compromise and bipartisanship, despite the optimism that we've been seeing since the beginning of this new board when they were elected in 2016. Dale Sugars, who's kind of considered, I think, to be the leader among Republicans on the county board, has pushed for a bipartisan effort to get kind of everybody on the same page, compromise, have more votes that are unanimous. And people were really encouraged that the budget was able to pass unanimously. They saw that as a sign of progress. But I think that's kind of a rare rare example of that actually coming to fruition. So we'll have to see.
Are there many issues we could look at and say, if the partisan makeup of the board was different, we would have had a different result?
There are a few issues where that would have been the case. Much of the business that comes before the board often does pass unanimously when it's just routine things. But there were some issues where the outcome would have almost certainly been different. One of those was putting the senior millage on the ballot, the millage that helps support senior services. That was a 6-5 vote with the 5 Republicans opposed, the Democrats supporting. Joining a lawsuit against opioid makers, that was a 6-5 vote, again, with Republicans opposed. And the Kalamazoo County ID program as well, same thing, 6-5 vote, and the Republicans were against that. If the makeup of the board had been different, you can only suppose that the outcomes of those would have been different as well.
Malachi, you mentioned Dale Sugars being the leader of the Republicans, or at least seems to be the leader of the Republicans. He actually got a year as board chair because of a deal with Democrat Stephanie Moore. Give us kind of the quickest version that we can get of to remind our listeners of how that all came to be.
So the way this was pitched from Dale is that it was kind of the first olive branch to the Democrats. And essentially, it was a backroom deal. They never really came forward in public meetings and discussed this ahead of time. But through conversations with them afterward, we've learned that shortly after the election, Dale and Stephanie met and came to an agreement that because the board was 6-5 with the Democrat majority, it would be fairly impossible without the support of any Democrats to get a Republican in the vice chair or the chair seat. And so she would agree to support him, nominate and vote with the rest of the Republicans to appoint him as chair. And in turn, the Republicans and Dale would help elect her to vice chair. And then after a year, because those terms can either be a year, they can be 2 years, it's really up to the board. After a year, it would flip and she would have the opportunity to serve as chair and he would serve as vice chair. And with her supporting the Republicans, if they all voted in a block, there's really nothing that the Democrats could do about it despite having the majority.
The other Democrats beyond Stephanie Moore.
Right.
You mentioned there that sometimes there have been disputes within the parties. Sevilla, for the Democrats, does it seem that there have been some, despite having 6 members on the board and presumably having control, have the Democrats at times fractured a bit?
Yes, it's been an interesting situation. I'm struggling to think of a time when Stephanie Moore, the Democrat who made this deal with the Republicans, has actually voted with them. There have been meetings where it sounded as though
She's voted with the Republicans. Usually she votes with the Democrats still.
I can't think of a time when she hasn't voted with the Democrats. There have been times when it seemed as though she were maybe about to break with the Democrats because she had highly critical things to say to her other party members, either about how they handled the issue that they were bringing forward or some particular point in it. And then, lo and behold, she would vote with them anyway. And so politically, I do wonder sometimes exactly what the Republicans have gotten out of this deal, because although Moore has seemed to be aligned with the Republicans in a, I don't know, how would you say, a friendliness kind of way, or a just an appearances kind of way, effectively, she does still vote with the Democrats. There have been some meetings, though, especially if you follow the county board and you have a sense of the history here, where there has been tension between members. Occasionally, this has spilled over into just outright hostility. There was a meeting. This was right after the August primary election. Commissioner Mike Seals had a primary opponent, Shaquita Lewis, who was supported by Moore. So this was a Democrat really pushing for a Democratic primary challenge to sitting Commissioner Mike Seals. Seals narrowly did win that race, and he made a reference to having won it at the county board meeting after the primary, and then Moore had some things to say about that. So what happens there is you start to have the shouting and the gaveling, and Mike Seals is calling point of order. He's saying that the chair cannot criticize another commissioner up there on the dais, and there was a vote on whether to end this meeting, and it was ended. And so it was the end of the meeting anyway. It was in commissioner comments. It was close to the end, but it actually had been a pretty productive meeting. Everybody had seemed to be pleased with the progress that the county was making on its business, and then it ended in this kind of blow up. That's what it's been like sometimes with this last board.
This seems to be the culmination of some of these feelings that have been out there over the last 2 years. We talked about the deal earlier that was made with Mr. Sugars, and that was received very poorly by the other Democrats as soon as it happened. And it fractured some relationships that Moore had with other members of the commission. I'm going to go all the way back. This was in spring of 2017, I believe. There was a shouting match between her and some constituents outside the county building. And her conduct during that and some subsequent comments she made in board meetings later on incited Democrats on the board to raise questions about her ethics and possibly looking at her behavior. And that's kind of some of the disagreement that we're seeing up to this point boiling and I think kind of hitting a tipping point, particularly between her and Seals, because she supported Mr. Seals' primary challenger, who came fairly close to beating him in the primary. Let's also not forget how Moore is the first African-American board chair in the history of the county, and she achieved that without any votes from her party, which I think is pretty unusual. But it just kind of shows you that while she is at the seat of power, other Democrats are watching her every step, and it's been, I think she's feeling that and is feeling a bit defensive, and you see that kind of happen in these tit-for-tat arguments that are happening in the county board chambers.
So there's some blow-ups, there's some tension, there's some anger, and yet at the same time, I guess, you know, someone who doesn't follow this closely and lives in Kalamazoo County may say, well, that's interesting and all, but I don't know how it's really affecting my life. I don't know why I should be terribly concerned as long as, you know, county services are still available. Is there evidence out there that maybe people are noticing this?
I think that's a fair question. Sometimes when we're in the board chambers after something like this happens, Seville and I walk outside and we kind of look around and realize that the earth is still spinning and things are still happening as usual. In terms of normal board progress, I mean, grants are being approved, money's going to departments. It seems like there's not necessarily a disruption of the basic functions of the county. But the community at large has definitely noticed that there's this kind of dysfunction. Commissioners are talking about it much more publicly than they used to, and are indicating that it's getting in the way of them being able to do business, at least in their own relationships with each other. But shortly after the meeting, which we just played some audio from, several constituents came forward and called for some civility to return to the board. And I think there's been an effort to kind of cool down after that to some success. But I think there is a legitimate question about whether this is something that only kind of exists in the boardroom or if it's spilling out and affecting county business.
How important is partisan makeup of the board? I mean, we've talked about some of the close votes. Then there's also the question of who serves in the leadership positions. Are we really talking a handful of issues and then chair and vice chair? Are those the things really determined by how many Democrats and how many Republicans are on the board?
I am pretty sure that in the previous board where the Democrats still had a narrow 6-5 majority, there was a Democratic chair, John Taylor. I'm pretty sure the vice chair was a Republican. It seemed that, and that was, I suppose I took that for granted at the time. I thought that was kind of the way it worked. The majority party gets the chair.
I think it has been tradition, yeah.
Yeah, the majority party gets the chair, and then as a sort of consolation prize, the other side gets the vice chairship. In terms of the issues, the county is not going to grind to a halt based on which party is in charge. I mean, that's not likely. There is so much business that goes through every meeting that everybody votes on. It's approved. It is just a handful of issues, but some of those issues are pretty weighty. The senior millage would be a good example of that.
Yeah, I think when it comes to elective issues, things that kind of go outside the daily functions of the government, things like the senior millage, which was requested by the community, things like the county ID, which was also requested by a segment of the community, those would not have happened if Democrats didn't have a majority on the board. And something that we've heard after Wortelman left was Republicans saying that, you know, it's okay that District 2 goes unrepresented because we all kind of represent the county as a whole. And you saw some pushback from the Democrats who are saying that we were elected to serve our specific districts. And I think you see more from the Democratic side, people taking things that are in their individual communities and bringing that to the board for action, more so than on the Republican side. And so some of these kind of, and you really see it with proclamations and things that we don't necessarily see as bringing any real action, but carry some moral weight in the community. There was a large debate over what to do about Line 5 last year with this board. And I think that conversation continued to go on for as long as it did and get really the time and space that the community wanted, because there were Democratic majority that were able to kind of keep those conversations going through their votes.
So we do know there will be at least one new member of the county board come January of 2019. If people are interested in this and they're following it and they think that the partisan makeup of the board is important, are there some races they should look at that might indicate one way or another how this is going to turn out?
The nail biter in 2016 was the District 10. Commissioner Mike Quinn won that with 45 votes against Republican Jerry Whitaker. It was pretty close. It's a different Republican who's running this time, but I would keep an eye on that district for sure. District 10, that's, I think, Mike Quinn always says the left side of Portage. Scott McGraw, who's represents District 11, is a Republican, is running against Democrat Meredith Place. This race was not as close as District 10 in 2016, but it wasn't as decisive as some of the other ones. McGraw won with about 550 votes, about 52%. Those were the two closest. There were a couple of others that were decided, with about 1,500 votes. There's other races where it's hard to say this time. Commissioner Mike Seals ran unopposed in 2016. His primary opponent, Shaquita Lewis, came close to unseating him in the primary. Now she's challenging him as a write-in candidate in the general. John Gissler, Commissioner John Gissler, a Republican, was unopposed in 2016. He does have an opponent this time, a Democrat. Stephanie Moore's seat was, I think, the safest last election. She won with more than 80% of the vote. She does have an opponent, though. Commissioner Tracy Hall, a Democrat, she won her district overwhelmingly. Also, Republican Charlie Koss was her opponent then and now. Kevin Wertelman's, what was Kevin Wertelman's district is what seemed to be safely Democrat Paul Hagues, as he's running unopposed. And you've got two more seats with no opponents. So Republican Commissioner Ron Kendall is running unopposed, and so is Republican Commissioner Roger Tunier.
WMUK Sevilla Mann and MLive Kalamazoo reporter Malachi Barrett, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks,
Gordon.
You can find more of WMUK's election coverage at WMUK.org, and MLive Kalamazoo's coverage can be found at MLive.com/Kalamazoo. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.